Well, turn please to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look tonight at the words of the verse 4. So we've been saying that the great subject of this chapter is that of faith, and especially the subject of God's people persevering by faith, through faith. And we're coming then this evening to the first of the examples of men and women of faith, as we have it in the verse 4. Hebrews 11, the verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Amen. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word this evening. Our gracious Father, we do give thee thanks this evening for the privilege that we do have to gather around the word of God. Lord, we do pray that these words will be a great blessing to each of thy dear children gathered in this meeting this evening. Oh Lord, we do ask that thou wilt be pleased to seal these words on each one of our hearts. And Lord, we do pray that we might be enabled to learn from the godly example of this great patriarch, our great forefather Abel. We pray, Lord, that most of all, that we will be made more like unto the one that he directed us to, more like unto thine own dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. To give that help of the Holy Spirit, then, we do pray, give that enablement to preach and to hear the word of God. In the Lord's name we do ask. Amen. Amen. Henry Law said, "A long course of years has fled since the earth drank in the blood of Abel. His was the earliest of all graves, but he is not silent in that grave. His faith has an ever-living voice. And as Paul has said in Hebrews 11 verse 4, he being dead yet speaketh." Despite the great passage of time from the death of Abel, Abel still has very many vital lessons for us as God's people to learn. Abel was the first individual who was born into this world, who was to be born again. The first individual who was born into the world, who was to be born again. And to be born again of the Spirit of God, Abel was given the great gifts of faith and repentance. And his life became one of living by faith. If you look back at Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, and we have these words that Paul quoted from the book of Habakkuk. Now, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And as we move then into chapter 11 and verse 4, and we come to Abel, we can say of Abel that that was his testimony. He was a just man, and he lived by faith. There was that day when he was justified by faith, as he was brought in saving faith to rest upon Christ. But his whole life then, from that day forward, was characterized by faith. The just are those that are living by faith. Now, in these words that we're looking at tonight, Hebrews 11 and the verse 4, Paul gives us in this text the great evidence, the proof, that Abel was a man of faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And in these words, then, we have the great proof that Paul's assertion is right, that Abel did live that life of faith. And I want to say, first of all, considering this evidence of Abel's faith, Abel's faith was evidenced in his submission to the Word of God. His faith was evidenced in his submission to the Word of God, because it says in that verse 4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So we're brought to consider that great incident that happened in Genesis chapter 4, where both Cain and Abel brought their offerings before the Lord. And we have then in that an event that took place subsequent to Abel's conversion. And I believe then that that day when Abel brought the lamb and presented it at the altar, that was not the day of Abel's conversion, but rather it was a testimony to the work that God had already done within Abel's heart and life. The act of bringing that lamb was an act of submission to the will of God as it was revealed in the Word of God. You see, every time we come to consider the subject of faith as it's revealed in the Word of God, we must always remember that faith can never be divorced from the Scripture. We consider faith in the biblical sense of that word. Such faith must always be grounded upon the Word of God. There is no such thing as faith without there being some association with the Word of God, with divine and special revelation. We have that principle stated very clearly by Paul in Romans chapter 10, when in verse 17 he says, "Then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if there is no hearing of God's Word, there cannot be such a thing as faith. Therefore, we must say that when we have these words, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and he did it by faith, there had to be in Abel's life prior to that a hearing of the Word of God. There is a great contrast then in Genesis 4 between these two sons of Adam and Eve, between Cain and Abel. And this great contrast is evidenced in the bringing of the offering. Now, there were various things that Cain and Abel agreed on. Both of them believed that God is to be worshipped. Both of them believed that there is to be an offering brought before the Lord. But then there was a great dividing line. In fact, there were a number of things that divided them. Well, we'd say that the very first thing that divided those two men was this: their attitude to the Word of God. Their attitude to special, to revealed truth. Abel believed the Word of God. He took God at his word, and Abel submitted to the Word of God that had been given to him. And Abel then, as he came with his offering, he was being guided by the Word of God. He was not guided by his own imagination. He was not guided by his own superstition. But he was guided by what had been revealed to him by God himself. And in contrast then, we can say of Cain that Cain was guided by his imagination. His offering was not that which was offered in faith. So by faith, Abel, he presented that offering that was more excellent. When Cain brought his offering, it was not by faith, because it was not in obedience to the revealed Word of God. If you look again with me then in Genesis chapter 4, in Genesis chapter 4 and the verse 3, Genesis chapter 4 and the verse 3, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." We could write over those words that this is the response of imagination. The response of imagination. But then in verse 4, and Abel, or but Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. We could write over those words the response of submission. The response of submission. For God had already revealed very important truths to Adam and Eve after their fall from perfection. Those truths were evidently then passed on to Cain and Abel. Cain rejected what his parents had passed on to him as far as God's word was concerned. But Abel, he took that and he treasured it. It was his desire that he would be submissive to it. What was revealed in Genesis chapter 3? You could say that what we have revealed to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 is the consequence of the broken law. The consequence of the broken law, and then secondly, the mercy of the gospel, or the mercy in the gospel. The consequence of the broken law, as we think of that truth as it was brought and impressed upon the hearts of Adam and Eve, they were brought to see this, that in light of their breaking of God's law, that they stood in need of a covering. God's word then, in Genesis chapter 3, makes it clear that sinners stand in need of a covering, that we, having broken the law of God, need to have a covering before God. Adam and Eve realized that as they sinned. Remember how they tried to cover themselves. They had a covering that was of human manufacture, that was of human invention. That covering was worthless. It was futile. And they were brought then to see that they needed to have the covering that God would provide. But there was then this understanding that sinners stand in need of a covering. But then sinners are justly cast from God's presence. And as Adam and Eve then were taken and cast out of the Garden of Eden, they were being taught this is the consequence of man's breaking of God's holy law. The consequence of breaking God's holy law is that sinners are cut off. Abel, he believed that to be true. And he accepted that what God has said was absolutely just. That all of that was an expression of God's great holiness. But as Cain considered it, Cain rejected it. Cain would not submit to that clear revelation from God. So he brought an offering, and that was of his own human invention. There was nothing in what God had revealed to Adam and Eve that would have suggested that an offering of fruit was going to be what the Lord would request, or what the Lord would be satisfied with. In fact, what Cain was doing was openly rebelling against what the Lord had shown. Now you think of how Adam and Eve, they had taken the leaves of the trees. They had wrapped themselves in those fig leaves. And the Lord had made it clear that that was a useless attempt. If you look then at Genesis 3 verse 17... In Genesis 3, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. The ground is cursed. You notice then what it says in Genesis 4, verse 3. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit God had said, the ground is cursed, and yet that which grew out of the ground, it was cursed. Cain in his folly believed that God would be appeased by such an offering. Cain then refused to take the place of a sinner. He refused to confess that he was one that had broken God's holy law. He refused to confess that he needed a covering. He refused to confess that he was justly separated from a holy God.
But when Abel came with his offering, when he came that offering of the lamb, Abel was saying, I take the place of a sinner. Abel was saying, I am separated from God, or I was separated from God on account of my sin. I had broken the holy law of God. I justly deserve to be cut off from God forever. Abel believed the wages of sin is death. So there was this aspect of God's revelation in Genesis 3, the consequence of the broken law. Abel submitted himself to that. But then there was this other part of God's revelation, Genesis 3, the mercy of God in the gospel. So while Adam and Eve were taught their covering was useless, they then had a covering provided for them. They were taught that there is a covering provided by God. That the covering that God provides is by means of death, by means of bloodshedding. That God accepts the death of the substitute. Therefore, in Genesis 4, as Abel realized his obligation to bring this offering before the Lord, he didn't think in his imagination, what would God accept? He knew what God would accept because he had God's revelation from Genesis 3. He knew that God could accept only that which spoke of the death of a substitute, that which testified of death and of bloodshedding, that which would then testify of a covering being provided by means of death. When Abel then brought his lamb, he didn't just parade it in front of the altar and show that lamb to God, but the lamb was slain. If you look at Genesis 4 verse 4, Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And that reference to the fat thereof makes it clear that this lamb was slain. The blood was shed. And the fat then, along with every part of the animal, it was led out in that altar before the Lord. And really key, or Abel rather, he saw this truth. I deserve death, but there is one who will die for me. He could say, I ought to die, but there is one who will die in my place. And in the bringing of that lamb then, Abel was by faith looking forward to Calvary on the basis of the revelation that he had from God back in Genesis 3. He believed what had been revealed. He believed God and he submitted to it. So then we have these great words in Hebrews 11 verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. This offering was superior, extremely better than that of Cain. One pointed to Christ. That is, Abel's pointed to Christ. Cain's pointed to man's failed efforts to gain peace with God. As I have suggested to you, Cain was a religious man. And when there was this issue of bringing an offering to the Lord, Cain did not neglect to bring an offering. He had this deep awareness of the being of God, of the reality of God, but he was determined to bring a bloodless offering. And as such, it was a vain offering. Cain was, we might say, a religious hypocrite. Surely in that first home, as we consider these first two children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, in those two sons we have an accurate picture of the world in every age. There are those who choose the way of Cain. There are those who choose to do that which is right in their own eyes. They honour God with their lips, but they despise him in their hearts. But then there are those who
submit to the way of Christ, like Abel,
they submit to the truth that God has revealed. We find then Abel in coming with this offering. He believed with all his heart that the only way to approach a holy God was through shed blood, and he believed that because it was revealed to him in the word of God that had been brought to him. As we think then of Abel's faith being evidenced in this submission to God's word, as surely as God's people we must value this place of approaching God. As Abel had God's word revealed to him, and he took that word and he hid it within his heart, Abel valued approaching God. He valued that place of a public demonstration of worship to God. He would approach God on the basis of blood only. How we ought to have such a desire as Abel had to approach God on the basis of blood. Then Abel, he submitted to God's word in the whole subject of worship. Abel, he desired that every part of his life would be subject to the word of God. And while he saw the rebellion in Cain's life, nonetheless he was insistent that he would do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Surely all around us we see the Cains. We see those that rebel against the clear word of God. But may we be faithful Abels, by faith, submitting ourselves to the holy word of God in every part of our lives. I read a very good quote this week where a writer said, when the church today comes to a portion of God's word that it does not like, it calls it legalism. The church today comes to a portion of God's word that it does not like, it calls it legalism. We live in a day when professed Christians are continually rebelling against the clear word of God. And how there must be a fresh desire in our hearts that having been born again of the Spirit of God, we will treasure God's word and submit to it. Paul, in writing to Titus, in Titus 1 verse 1, has said, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth. The faith of God's elect and the acknowledging, the submission of the truth are things that go hand in hand. We cannot be said to live by faith if we refuse to submit to truth. Therefore, we can say of Abel's faith it was evidenced in submission to the word of God. But I want to see then, secondly, that Abel's faith was evidenced in solace from the word of God. Abel's faith was evidenced in taking solace from the word of God. If you look with me again at Hebrews 11 and the verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which, that is, by faith, he obtained witness that he was righteous. Those words, he obtained witness, they are the same Greek words back in verse 2, where it speaks of the elders obtaining a good report. He obtained witness, he obtained a good report. And the obtaining of witness in verse 4 is an obtaining that was primarily unto Abel himself. By faith he obtained witness. That is, he obtained witness from God that he was righteous. That he was righteous. Remember, the whole context here are those great words in Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. Really, Hebrews 11 is an exposition of those words. The just shall live by faith. Those that are righteous, those that are declared righteous, those that have been justified. And I want you to think of those words then, that as Abel offered this offering by faith, then by faith he obtained
witness from God. God was testifying to him. God was saying to Abel, "Abel, you are my child. Abel, you are one of mine. You are justified. You are right in my sight." Now, how did Abel come to that great knowledge? How did Abel come to be convinced that God was saying to him, "Abel, you're one of mine"? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And this witness then was obtained by faith. But it was in this whole context of the offering that was offered in Genesis chapter 4. Like Abel then, God's people today are to have this experience of hearing this witness of God to us. By faith we are to hear God witnessing to us that we are righteous, that we are justified, that we are just in his sight. By faith then we are to come to Calvary, because that's what Genesis 4 and this offering of Abel is all about. Let me emphasize that Abel was as much a sinner as Cain was. When Abel was converted, it was still in him, as there is in all of us, the problem of indwelling sin. With Abel, there was this problem of the old man, as there is in every believer. And if Abel was to look for assurance in himself that he was just, he wasn't going to find it merely in himself. For as Abel looked into his own heart, I'm sure he saw resentment. As Abel looked into his own heart, he saw bitterness. He saw spiritual coldness. He saw anger. And he never found assurance then in any of those things. He couldn't find assurance in merely examining his own heart. Where was that assurance to be found? It was to be found in listening to the testimony of God to him. And God then had this message for Abel to hear. And God testified to Abel when he was by the altar. If you look with me again at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And in the verse 4 it talks of Abel bringing this offering, the first fruits of the flock, firstlings of the flock, and off the fat thereof. And then these words at the end of verse 4. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. God had respect. The word there had the idea of God regarding, God looking upon it. And that day there was some evidence to Abel. God is looking favorably. God has looked favorably upon this bringing of the lamb to the altar. In verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And notice these words then, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now the fact that Cain was angry makes it clear that God testified to Abel and Cain about this issue of respect. And so Abel knew that day, God has looked favorably upon my offering. And Cain knew that day, God has not looked favorably upon my offering. And as I say, that's very clear in the fact that he responded angrily. There must have been then either a visible sign or an audible sign that proved that God had respected the offering of Cain and had, or the offering of Abel rather, and had not respected the offering of Cain. And some suggest that God spoke audibly. Some believe then that when Abel brought this lamb and the fat was laid out on the altar, that God spoke from heaven. Because if you look down at verse 7, God is speaking to Cain. God says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And so there was there the voice of God speaking into Cain's heart. There are others that believe that this evidence that was brought to Abel and Cain was actually something that was visible. Because as I've said, when Abel brought his offering, there was actually the death of the lamb. And we read then of the laying out of the fat upon the altar. Many of the good commentators suggest then, and we can't be dogmatic about this, but many of the good commentators suggest that God proved to Abel that his offering was accepted by fire falling from heaven and by consuming that lamb. If you turn with me, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We have quite a number of examples of this through the Old Testament scripture of when the lamb was led upon the altar, that God acknowledged that sacrifice in the pouring down of the fire of his wrath. In the 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we have that time when David sinned before the Lord in taking the census, and then he built an altar at Ornan's threshing floor. And in verse 26, David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And notice these words: and he, that is the Lord, answered from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And that day, as David stood at that altar, God gave to David the proof positive that God had accepted that offering. It was not an audible voice in that occasion, but it was the falling of the fire. The fire did not fall and consume David, the one that had sinned. But the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. In chapter 22, in the verse 1, it says, "Then David said, this is the house of the Lord, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And he recognized the great significance of what had taken place on that particular occasion. You think of that time when there was the contest on Mount Carmel. Remember how the prophets of Baal, their altar, they had cried for fire and no fire fell. Remember when Elijah prayed, the fire fell. The fire that day, as it fell, it didn't fall on Elijah. It didn't fall on the prophets of Baal. But the fire fell on the sacrifice. God answered by heaven in the sending of fire. I want you to think of Genesis 4 in that light. As you think of Abel standing at the altar in Genesis 4 verse 4. If this is the case that God responded by fire, you have those words then: the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. For as Abel stood at the altar, he had to confess, "I am unworthy." He had to confess, "What I deserve is the fire of God's wrath to fall and consume me." But what happened was this: the fire fell and consumed the lamb, and Abel was spared. We have then in Hebrews 11 and the verse 4, those great words: "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." God testifying through the sacrifice. And the great assurance that Abel had that day: "I am a righteous man." By faith he believed what God was saying to him, because God had spoken on account of the fire at the altar. What of Cain? As Cain brought his offering, no fire fell, because the fire was reserved for Cain.
the fire would fall upon Cain in everlasting destruction.
He is still experiencing the awfulness, the fury of that fire. Child of God, what is it that we are to learn from Abel in Hebrews 11 verse 4? Surely it is this, that as Abel stood at that altar, by faith we are to come to the altar of Calvary. And like Abel, we are to stand there and we are to say, what we deserve is the experience that Christ endured in those 3 hours of darkness. And what we deserve is to experience that agony of being separated from God. Our cry ought to be, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As we stand by faith at Calvary, that is not our testimony. We cannot say that God has forsaken us. What we see at Calvary instead is the coming down of the fierceness of God's wrath, not on us, but on Christ. It is Christ that said that he was forsaken of the Father, that as my sin was laid upon him, the Father could no longer look favorably upon the Son. Thereby, God testifies to us, dear child of God, that we are righteous, that we are just, that we are his. He has taken our sin. He has borne the wrath for it. He has taken his righteousness and he has imputed it to our account. By faith, we are to take God at his word. It is never the desire of God for his people that we would doubt what the Lord has done for us. It is not the desire of God that we as his people would continually live in doubt, crying out, am I really the child of God? It is rather God's desire for us that we would stand at Calvary and that by faith that we would believe what God is testifying to us through the work of his dear Son, that we would obtain this witness that we are righteous. We sang earlier those words of Top Lady, from whence this fear and unbelief? Hath not the Father put to grief his spotless Son for me? Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. And as Abel saw then that fire fall and consume the lamb, Abel could say, God's wrath has been appeased. The payment has been made as that fire pointed forward to Christ. God did not hold back the wrath from his Son. It was poured out in its entirety. Thereby, we are to, by faith, believe what the Lord is saying to us here. Obtain witness that we are righteous. How is it proved then that Abel was a man of faith? His faith was evidenced in submission to the Word. His faith was evidenced in solace from the Word of God. I want to see finally that Abel's faith was evidenced in succeeding through the Word of God. In Hebrews 11 verse 4, at the end of that verse we read these words, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By he being dead, yet speaketh. By it, by faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. Now these words are filled, I believe, with meaning. We can say that the faith that Abel had all of those years ago, Abel is still preaching to us about it today. And so by faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. And that event that took place one day in history,
It's an event that is ever relevant. But surely there is also this idea that Abel still lives. By faith, he being dead, physically speaking, yet speaks because he is alive. Abel, as his body was lying upon the ground, and as his blood soaked into the ground, Abel's body was dead, but his soul lives on. And therefore, by faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. Remember, the whole theme of Hebrews 11 is that of perseverance. These great saints not only had faith, but they persevered to the end by faith. And they persevered in the face of adversity. See, Abel did not merely start out well with God, but he persevered right on to death. And he persevered by faith. He persevered right to a martyr's death. And he persevered to that martyr's grave by faith. I want you to think of that period of time between Abel bringing his lamb to the altar and there being that demonstration from God that his offering was accepted. And then that time when Cain slew Abel in the field. You think of that period of time, how Abel must have felt isolated. Here he was, and his brother couldn't look favorably upon him. His brother Cain envied him. He hated him. He despised him. And here again in these two boys we have an accurate portrayal of how it is for God's people to live in this world today. We have one that was born again. We have the other who is unregenerate, unbelieving. And what is happening? The unregenerate is persecuting those that are born again. Remember in Galatians 4 verse 29, we have there the example of Isaac and Ishmael. In Galatians 4 29, Paul says, "As then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now." And Ishmael there is the one that was born of the flesh, not born by promise. And Isaac, by contrast, is the one that was born of the Spirit. The same principle holds true in relation to Abel and to Cain. Cain was the one of the flesh. Abel was the one of the Spirit. He that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the Spirit. In those times of persecution, however long that lasted, however long that period of oppression was, Abel did not turn away. Abel did not turn his back on walking with God. Abel persevered. And therefore, by faith, he being dead, yet speaketh. His testimony is this, that he not only began in faith, he persevered right to the end in faith. Because he must have continually meditated over that testimony. I have been declared righteous. The Lord has said to me, I am righteous. I am justified. He took God at his word. He believed what God said. And by faith then, Abel was enabled to persevere. And how then we can say Abel stands as a wonderful father, forefather, a great patriarch for the Church of Christ today. What opposition we do face. What a fleshly world is arrayed against the Church of Jesus Christ, and it will continue to be so. May we take God at his holy word and
may we be enabled by God's grace then to persevere and to overcome. We trust the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of our hearts.